come with.
Oh, he's got on a good enough. All set up.
Huge.
Morning, folks.
Morning.
I am very pleased, very happy to be back at Black Creek. And it's feels like home every time that I come here. And getting to know more and more of you personally, and I'm glad for that. Your pastors are a great blessing to me. And I am thrilled to know them and to be partnering with you and them to reach people for Christ. It's very important that we partner together to reach the world. And because it's an overwhelming task, and we'll talk a little bit about that this morning. That's not really what I'm going to preach. I'm not going to preach a missionary message. I'm going to preach a message that God gave to me, and that means a lot to me. And I pray that God will speak to all of our hearts this morning. But we were over in Burma back in January and February, and I stayed there 5 weeks, and it wasn't enough. And I would like to be there full time. I'd like to be there permanently. And even my wife, when she went with me in October, she told people 4 different times, I heard her say, someday we will live here. And I broke down and wept because that is my dream. And, you know, my wife, when we first met at Tennessee Temple University down in Chattanooga, Tennessee, a Bible college those days, she, when I first asked her to accompany me to a church service, that was really our first date, I guess you'd say.
Let me check your mic real quick here. I'll interrupt this great story of you and your wife here.
It's on now.
It is? Okay, yeah. Good enough.
Right. I didn't hit the button. Should I start again? But when my wife and I first met there at Tennessee Temple University in Chattanooga, Tennessee, back in the 70s. I graduated high school in 74 and went to Bible college right away. And I met my wife at what was called the Happy Corner. And I asked her out and she said, you're going to be a pastor, right? I said, that's the plan. She said, as long as you're not going to be a missionary. Well, that was almost 9 years ago now. Gee, I'm old. And for her to say, one day we will live in Burma on the other side of the planet is an amazing, remarkable, miraculous change of heart for her. And so she was raised in Bolivia on the mission field. Her father was called by Jack Hiles and Bob Jones Sr. They called him Mr. Bolivia. He started 46 years in Bolivia. He started some 40 churches and four different Bible colleges. And she grew up there. When we first met, she knew more Spanish than English. And when she got mad at me those first few years of marriage, it was like Ricky and Lucy in reverse. You know? And anyway, God has been doing a work in both of our hearts and our lives. And now God's doing the work in Myanmar, old Burma. And this past trip, now you understand, in 2009, I was arrested and jailed in Burma, old Burma, for preaching the gospel. They took me out of the pulpit. But now, in 2017, we held an open-air crusade. And many hundreds of people professed faith in Christ as their Savior. We have video. I really like to show you that video that contains that in the 1 o'clock hour, if you'd stay around a little longer today for the afternoon service. And you'll see us on the streets of the fourth largest city in old Burma, handing out gospel tracts, scriptures, people stopping, creating traffic jams to get what we had that we were distributing in the streets. Why? Because they're hungry for the gospel. Because they need God. They know they need God. They know they're in a search for the truth. Now, you understand, this is a country that is 97% Buddhist and has been a brutal military dictatorship, killing millions of its own people since 1962, when all missionaries, the gospel itself, was discarded and rejected and dejected, thrown out of their country. And it's been illegal to preach the gospel. There was underground churches. When I first went there in February 2009, I preached in a dozen underground churches in the city of Yangon, Old Rangoon, city of 7.5 million Buddhists and Muslims. And story after story, I've told you some of those. But now, a new government, a new day, a new freedom. And the big news, other than the crusade that we held and a brand new church that we planted during that 5 weeks, is that now we do not any longer have to smuggle Bibles across the border from India and Thailand. Pastor, how many remember Pastor Tong Lien? Tong Lien does not have to be dragged by the heels out of the cargo hold of buses anymore and be beaten with steel rods and be jailed and put in stand up sweatbox prison cells anymore. I mean, you know, he has suffered greatly numerous times for not only starting his church, but smuggling the word of God across the border from Thailand so that his people can have the scriptures. I have pastors that have no Bible. I have churches that they love the Word of God and they crave. You understand what I'm saying? Like a thirsty man would crave water. Like someone who's starving would crave a piece of bread. They crave the scriptures, the word of God, but they don't have it. They may have a part of it, a portion, and whether they have the whole thing, one copy, two copies, they share it, and your family will get it this week, and then regardless of how far you've gotten in your, you know, with work schedule and all of that, you pass it to the next family, and it may become your turn in several months, or maybe 6 months, maybe 8 months. But we don't have to do that anymore. Now I'm contracting with the Myanmar Bible Society, which couldn't really do business in the old days, but now we can buy Bibles on the ground in Old Rangoon for $5, for $5 a Bible. And I'm going to churches and I'm saying, how many do you want? How many would like to buy a Bible for a new believer or a pastor? You know, $5. You want one? You want four? You want 100? What do you want? And we're contracting with the Myanmar Bible Society, and Pastor Tong and others can go there to that place in the city of Yangon and buy those Bibles and take those and distribute them to our pastors and churches and people freely. Freely. You all don't know what it is not to have a Bible.
That's right.
There was a day when you didn't care if you had a Bible.
That's right.
Yes, sir. There was a day when you had a family Bible, but it didn't mean anything to you. It just drew dust on the coffee table. There was a day when you didn't know that the first book of the Bible was Genesis and the last was Revelation. You couldn't stand up here like these did and quote the books of the Bible. You didn't know the four Gospels and you didn't care. But now you have Christ inside you and your body has become the temple of the living God, the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And now you crave the scriptures, the word of God. And that's the way my people are over there, but they don't have it. And we couldn't, and it cost us dearly to get it to them. The day's different.
Amen.
It's a different day. And so after service, if you want to buy a Bible, I got $25 in my pocket. You know what that's going for? Sis, said this to me earlier. You know what that's going for? That buys five Bibles.
Amen.
Burmese, Judson, Textus Receptus Bibles. See, there's countries like Vietnam, they don't have a Bible. They don't have one.
Right.
We need to translate.
Yes, sir. Yes.
We need to publish the glad tidings.
Yes,
sir. For the first time ever.
Yeah.
From a good text.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
But Burma, we have a Bible. Adoniram Judson in the 1800s went there, translated the Bible into the highest level of the Burmese language. The monks can't believe it. They crave a copy. I've given Judson Bibles to Burmese Buddhist monks. They almost drool over it. You know, because they know what it is.
Yeah, amen.
They know what it is. I ask you this morning, this is the message, but maybe it is. Do you know what it is?
That's right, yes. Thank you. Come on. Yes, sir.
Do you know what it is?
Yes.
How long has it been since you read through the Gospels of the Lord?
Yes.
How long has it been since you memorized Scripture?
That's
Do you know what this is? How precious is it in your life and in your family, your home? It is the living Word of God.
Yes.
I got five Bibles.
I like it.
Before this church service even started, it's going to buy the Word of God. I do too. I like it.
Yes, sir.
Now I got to compose myself and somehow get to my message. As if that wasn't it. That's the message, actually, that this nation needs to get back to.
Yes, sir. Yes.
That's what every church, Brother Hain, in New York needs to hear. We need to get back to our Bibles.
Yes.
We need to get back to the Word of God. We need to get back to an old-fashioned altar.
Yes.
But that the Word of God, you know, there was a time in, I'm trying to get to my message, but I can't. There was a time in the history of Israel when the Word of God was precious in those days.
Yeah.
You know what that means? It was rare.
That's right, yeah.
There was no open revelation. There was no preacher that was getting anything from God. The heavens were shut up.
Yep.
But we don't have to depend on him or him,
that's right,
or me anymore. You don't have to depend on any preacher or any teacher. You've got it.
Yes,
that's right.
But what are you doing with it?
Come on.
That's right. Yes, sir.
All right. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, wonderful, wonderful passage of scripture for me. And it is one of the greatest miracles recorded in the New Testament. The Bible says in verse 1, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. It was almost Passover time. Verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. And he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove Philip, for he knew him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip, he answered Jesus, he said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Why? Because there was so many. There was a multitude. We find out later in this passage of scripture that there was at least 5,000 men besides women and children. And so I want to stop right here and tell you that what was a penny worth in those days? What is 200 penny worth? The definition of that, the value of what Philip is telling the Lord, tells us something of the magnitude of what was the task of feeding this multitude, this crowd of people there on that hillside. A penny, or a Roman denarii in those days, was one denarii, or one penny, was the average man's wage for one day. It was what he earned for one day. If Philip and the disciples had in their possession 200 pennyworth or denarii, then they had saved up or acquired in their possession as they traveled for their own expenses as the apostles and Christ. They had acquired in today's economy with current inflation about $14,500. About $14,500. And so back then, in those days, that amount of money for a man who was well-bodied, he was very fit, and he could work long hours every single day, and usually not a five-day week, but a seven-day week, work every single day, sun up till sundown. This would be about 7 months' wages for a single family. And in those days. So, in other words, if Philip is saying, I have 7 months' wages in our possession, but it's not enough, you kind of get the impression this is a major task to feed these people. Something's going on here. Jesus wants to feed the crowd. He always wants to feed the crowd. He's always about come and dine. He's always about meeting the needs of the people that come. You come today. He wants to feed you. And it's not pizza. You know, it's not McDonald's, but it's better than that. And the spiritual food that you could get if you have ears to hear today in this place is what this whole nation needs. And it's not because Bob DeWitt is preaching. It's not because John Asquith is pastor of this church and we have this amazing man who has pastored for all these years down in Single House here in this place. It's not because of that, it's because of this.
Yes.
And so take advantage, perk up, listen, open your ears, bring it in. You know, my wife has a daycare. She says, are you listening with your ears? You know, she tells those young people. They say, yes, I'm listening with my ears, you know. And for a little while at least. They don't have much of an attention span. But so anyway, Jesus, he wants to feed the multitude. And Philip is overwhelmed. Totally overwhelmed. He does not understand that Jesus is setting up to do an amazing miracle, one of the greatest miracles in all of his life on earth and ministry and in the New Testament. It's about to occur. And so he says in verse 8, one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, says unto him, there's a lad here, and he has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, small fishes at that. But what are they about among so many? Verse 10, Jesus said, make the men sit down. Make the men sit down. Don't ask them to sit down. Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Let me stop there for a moment. We have got to get to the place in our lives where we stop the hustle and bustle and the hurry and all of that and come to the house of God, or get into our prayer closet, or get into our wherever we have our devotions at home, and sit down and be quiet and listen and pause in our lives. We're so busy doing nothing.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
We've got to obey the Lord. These men, the disciples, the apostles, they went out there and they made the men sit down. They're going to get fed. But as we go through this passage of scripture, you're going to see that those who were fed, those who received the food, those that got the bounty, were the ones who sat down. It makes it very clear. And you'll see that in a moment. Look at verse 11. Jesus took the loaves. He took the loaves. He took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, verse 11 is a picture, I believe, of the Great Commission. It is a picture of the work of God. It is a picture of how God works in this world through us, through the church, through the local assembly of believers in Black Creek or in Horseheads or wherever the church might be. So verse 11 says, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. Now let me read that again. Look at your Bible. Jesus took the loaves. He's always got the bread. And when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. He gives it to us. And the disciples to them that were set down. And we give it. We get it from God. We give it out. It's not our own ideas. It's not our own wisdom. It's what we get from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the bread of life. It's the word of God. So Jesus has the loaves. He gives thanks. He distributes to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes. Now, he gives them the loaves. The disciples give the loaves to the people, and they give of the fishes. And then I want this phrase to stick in your mind. He gives of the fishes, it says, as much as they would. Let me ask you a question. Is it as much as the people would eat, or is it as much as the disciples would give it out? Read it with me again.
All right.
Context. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples took the loaves and distributed to them that were set down. And the disciples took of the fishes, and they distributed of the fishes as much as they would.
Yes, sir.
Is it as much as the people would eat? Did they just keep giving it out? Or is it as much as the disciples would give it out? Because we get weary in well-doing. And there was a big crowd. And there's just a few disciples in comparison. They're giving it out. They're giving it out. They're giving it out. They're giving it out. Giving it out. It's taking all day. They're giving it out. They're giving it out. They're giving it out. Giving it out. Giving it out. Giving it out. But the hillside is covered. 5,000 men plus women and children. Was there 10? Was there 12,000 people? I don't know. Maybe more. They're giving it out. They distributed end of the fishes as much as they would. There's a whole heap of churches in America that have stopped giving it out.
Yes, sir. Sure have.
Right. Am I right or wrong?
That's right. Oh, you're very right, brother.
Yes, sir.
We've gotten tired.
Yeah.
We've made a whole lot of excuses. Have we not?
Yes, sir.
We've done our part.
That's right.
This church has been here a long time. We've done our share. I've been, let the young people do it. Yeah, but you older folks, you've got to teach them to do it.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You've got to help them see how to do it. How are we going to feed these 5,000 people? How in the world is that going to happen? It's overwhelming. We have 200 penny worth. We have 7 months of a man's wage. And if we give that, what are we going to live on? If we give everything we have, then how are we going to buy groceries next week? Jesus said, make the men sit down. They distributed and distributed and distributed and distributed. Now, I think both will preach. Right. They gave, and of the fishes, as much as they would, as much as the people would eat.
Yeah, that's not what it said.
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
It's good.
But in the context.
That's right.
Yes, as much as those disciples would give it out.
That's good.
As much as they had the physical strength to put that out there, they kept giving it out, kept distributing. Look at verse 12. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain. You mean there's more? Jesus never does anything halfway. And when they were filled, the crowd was filled. When the multitude was filled, they couldn't eat anymore. So yes, I think it's both. But when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Isaiah 55 tells us that the word of God, his word shall never return void or empty or useless. He doesn't want anything to be lost. So he says, gather them all up. Now look at verse 13. Therefore, they gathered them, the disciples and the apostles, they gathered those fragments, they gathered them together, and they filled 12 baskets. Now, I don't know, is it a basket? You got 5,000 people there. Or is it baskets? Or is it like dump trucks? I have no idea. But Jesus said, gather up the fragments that nothing be lost. And so they filled, according to verse 13, 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above. Now, let me ask you a question. What did they do with the fragments? What did they do with the fragments? Huh? Probably save them. Like downstairs you go and you, right now there are sandwiches in the oven from yesterday's ladies meeting, right? Don't turn on the oven. You're going to have fried sandwiches. All right. You open the refrigerator. There's more sandwiches on the table out in the dining room. There is there's about two or three tables there, and there's trays full of goodies. If you go down the steps, you're going to smell them. And don't do that if you're on a diet, because it'll be an excess of spit. All right? You understand?
Yes, sir.
verse 13 says, they gathered 12 baskets of fragments of the barley loaves, which remained. But what did they do with them? He says they probably saved them. What did they do with them? The Bible tells us what they did with them. It says, they gathered 12 baskets of the fragments of the barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Look up here. They gave out doggy bags. It wasn't, save these fragments for the people that didn't sit down. It wasn't, that's the way we are these days. It's humanism. It wasn't save the fragments for the people who were stuck at home and couldn't make it to the hillside. Save the fragments because maybe somebody will want some later. No, the church meets at 10 o'clock on Sunday and 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, and then 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. And if you miss it, maybe you have missed it.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
You have missed it.
That's right. No question.
All right?
Yeah.
There is a time when the gospel trumpet will sound no more. There is a time when there will be no more preaching. The house of God will not have services any longer. The door will be shut, maybe padlocked. The time to hear and respond to the call of the gospel is now.
Yes, amen.
Yes, sir.
Right now. We cannot wait. We cannot wait to preach. We cannot wait to send. We cannot wait to accept. We cannot wait to believe. We cannot wait to serve. We cannot wait to go. We cannot wait because of the need, because of the urgency, because there are people that are hungry. If our countrymen are not hungry, I know and can take you to some people who are hungry for this, for the bread of life. But they took home doggy bags. Yeah, they were filled right up to here. But the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house.
Amen. Amen.
And the men and the women, the boys and girls on that hillside, that mountainside that day, they literally ate till they were filled and then took doggy bags home to eat some more. Because there is an abundance. You are never going to exhaust this book.
That's right. Man.
I haven't even got to my message yet. I haven't even got there yet. I'm going to have to probably continue it, postpone another message. I'm probably going to have to continue this at 1 o'clock, but I'm going to get over there to verse 57, which is really where my message is. Don't go there. You'll spoil everything. You know? It says in verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. Yeah, they were right. Then verse 15 says, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship. Now, he's gone up to a mountain to pray. His disciples have gone to the sea, and they're going to go across the Sea of Tiberias. And Jesus is going to join them later. And the multitude is going to follow. Because they're hungry again. It's amazing. Human nature. You know? It is.
Yeah.
You may be full today, but you're going to need Jesus tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Am I right or wrong?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
A little dab will not do you. That, for you young people, that was a Brill Cream commercial. And for those of you that don't know what Brill Cream is, go to your favorite drugstore and dig through all the men's shelves, hair stuff, and you'll find Brill Cream. That's something that Brother Hain remembers, but... Sorry. You know? But, you know, a little dab will not do. You know, a little dab may do, you know, I put a little dab in my hair and mix it around and comb my hair and it kind of sort of stays where it is. You know, but with the Word of God, you have a little dab today, you're going to need a little dab tomorrow. And you have a little dab today, you're going to want a little dab tomorrow. You're going to want more and more, unless you're living in sin.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Because when you go in this book, it's like a mirror, and you see yourself. Oh, and if you see that, yes, you see your sin.
That's right.
If you see your sin, you may say, "Man, I don't want to eat that again." But you should. I'm going to stop right there because I've got a lot to say in the 1 o'clock hour, and I hope with all my heart that you will be here at 1 o'clock. I'm going to show that video. It's about 10 minutes. It'll bless your soul. But I want to take you to verse 57 and show you what this message is really about. Let's pray. Father, God, I thank you for your word.
Lord, my people on the other side of the planet, they crave the bread of God.
Yes.
And I pray, Father, that you will give us a hunger for it today. I pray, Father, that you will make us hungry and that you will feed us. And I pray, Father, that you'll help us, Lord, to see how much we need to be fed, not by the things of this world, not those things which do not satisfy, but the things of God. Thank you, Father, for feeding us today. And thank you, Father, for the past hour and then this hour and all that you've done in our lives. Thank you for salvation and our Savior. We pray, Father, help us in this next hour as we eat together and fellowship together. And Lord, this is your day. This is the Lord's day. This is your house. This is the Lord's house. I pray, Father, we'll honor you and glorify you. And Lord, we want to tell you, we love you. And that's why we're here today. Nothing else is so important than this place and this book and our Savior and what you've done in our lives and what you want to do from here on out. In Jesus' name I pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Hay.
If God has spoken to your heart and there's something that he